I want to share with you a story about an evening last week that changed my life in a really profound and at the same time unexpected way. Because what you see behind me is my new home. Couple of days ago, I moved into this tent. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. How this became my reality, I want to share with you in today's podcast and explore an even deeper layer about life, about reality, about living in alignment with ourselves and with nature, exploring the beauty of minimalism and the challenges of aligning your life with everything that is important to you. Yeah, and doing all that in a global setting that does not, let's say it like that, that does not invite you to live in alignment with nature, but that distracts you and that tries to always like pull you into consumerism, pull you into shallowness, pull you into parts of reality that may be triggering some innate response in you, but ultimately are detrimental to you realizing your full potential. All right. Couple of days ago, last week, Lionel, my son, and Elina, his mom, and I were invited to a play date with a friend of mine and with his family. And their little boy is 3.5 years old, so 2 years older than Lionel. But the first time these beautiful souls met, they had a great connection. And we said, like, let's organize an afternoon where they can play together. And then we drove to their home. And they said, "Hey, actually, let's go out. There's a playground not far from here, and there are other children, and then maybe we can have some dinner at a nearby restaurant that's super nice, and let's go out." And we were like, "Yeah, boo, let's go, let's do it. Let's do it. Sounds great." And then we arrived at the playground. Actually, the playground was a football field. It's just a area of grass and other children having fun there, and we were like, "Yeah, okay, cool. Let's go there." And then we arrived. And I was, in order to go there, I was having Lionel in the sling, and then I took him out and put him there, and he was like looking around, and he was not moving towards the other children, whatever they were playing, but the minute he arrived there, he started running. He started running to the side of the football field where there was a road. Not a big road, but yeah, scooters, cars driving by. And he was running. He was running. He was running to the road. And of course, either me or Elena was following him so that he does not hurt himself. And we always try to put him back to the middle of the grass area where the other children were sitting. Some of them were reading a book or playing with some toys or whatever. But he was not interested in that at all. He was always running and always running to the sides of the football field where there is a road. And then he was picking up leftovers of cigarettes, plastic trash, and so on. And honestly, we imagined this play date to be a little bit more relaxed, just together sitting on the grass, the children like together playing, but in a peaceful, calm way. But Lionel was not up for peaceful and calm. He was running full on from one place to the next and always moving towards the street, because this is where the action was going on the grass. There were just a couple of children and they were playing, but more action was going on the sides of the football field where there's the street, and there were scooters and they were honking and there were other people and there was the action. But of course, that's not a safe place for children to play, and you as an adult always need to follow him closely so that he doesn't run into the street and hurt himself. And then after a while, Elena was really, really exhausted. And she said, like, this is not working. This is not working. What is going on with this child? Like, cannot he just play on the grass with the other children? And we are sitting there enjoying the sun, having some nice conversations, and everything will be just peaceful. But no, Leone was not up for peaceful. And then the afternoon progressed, and we were getting a little bit hungry, and then we went to the nearby restaurant. We ordered some food, sitting on the table, or we tried to order some food because Leone was crashing this setting as well. Was climbing on the chair, then climbing on the table. Of course, on the table were things like candles and coffee and flowers, all things that are not super safe for children to play with. And then we always try to take him down, try to put him on his chair, and then we had some toys with us from the other children and gave him these toys, but after 20 seconds he threw them away and he started climbing on the table. Well, somehow we managed to order some food. And we said, okay, until the food will arrive, let's go down with Lionel. There's a little children's play area, and it doesn't make any sense to try to sit on the table and have conversations. And then we went down, and we were in the children's play area. The other children were playing there with some kind of like little toys or teddy bears or whatever. And Lionel was there. I was like, okay, looking, checking up, what is going on? Climbing on these little chairs. And after a minute, he got bored and he threw away all these toys and he went out on the left the restaurant on the street again. I was following him and he was climbing on the scooters and checking everything out that's going on, but in a intense pace, and I was following him. And then it dawned on me, trying to fit this little energy bundle in this sterile, for adults optimized setting, where you sit on your chair and be quiet while the adults are having conversations. This just does not work with him. He has too much energy. He kills everybody and everything with his energy. He is not there. He is not, like, his destiny is not to be a little brave, little. Like relaxed and calm and introvert child. No, he has an intense amount of energy. In his human design chart, there are 8 of 9 centers defined. He has like everything, full on manifesting generator power. And while this clashed with the other adults, like some other guests at the cafe approached us and said, like, hey, can you please make your son be a little bit quieter? I'm trying to have a call. And I was like, he's a child, sorry, I cannot do that. And the other, yeah, please try. A good, responsible parent will make his child be quiet. But no, I'm not here to make him quiet. I'm here to let him express himself. But of course, this did not work in the setting that we were in. And of course, a part of me was stressed as well because I was hungry and I wanted to have a good conversation with my friend. As that was one of the reasons why we met. Of course, the children can be playing together and we can have good conversations about building the new earth and building community and developing ourselves into our highest versions and yeah, all these things that matter to us. But no, that was not possible. I was following Lionel outside, and then he ran onto the football pitch again. And he was just running, running, running. The sun was setting, and there was this, in the middle of all this, like hectic, stressful energy, suddenly inside myself there was a peace and a calmness, and I was just observing this little boy running, running on the grass, and all the other noises started to fade away, and I just saw him for this amazing, energetic human being that he is. And I was so grateful. And I said to him, Leona, I love you. I love you. I love you so much for crashing the setting that is not right. Neither for you, not for us as adults. It's not right. It doesn't serve us. It doesn't serve us to sit in a restaurant and eat some kind of processed, oily, salty food that people in the kitchen prepared because it's their job, because they get paid for it without a lot of passion, but of course they need to earn a living. And then we were sitting there in these closed, like, concrete boxes, No, we should have dinner like Leona and I are having dinner when we are at home, both sitting on the floor. And I was open the papaya or open the jackfruit or open the coconut or open whatever we are having, some bananas or whatever. And we're just sitting on the floor and eating that together. I'm holding my papaya with a spoon. Leona always comes when he wants some food, and I'll spoon a slice of papaya out, and he grabs it and he eats it, and then he runs with it. He does not sit still. He does not sit on a table while he's eating. He's active. He's active, of course. When he's super hungry, he's standing next to me and eating one bit of the papaya after the other. And when his hunger is getting a little bit satisfied, then he takes a bite and runs with it. A minute later, he comes back once more. This is how we eat together. And it's super relaxed. It's super, super, super chilled. I could have a beautiful conversation along with it. I could listen to a podcast. I maybe could even read a book while I'm sitting there, because he is in a setting where he can safely explore himself and his energy can come out. But in this cafe, no. In Montessori, there's this beautiful concept of a yes space. A yes space is a space where children can safely explore with everything there is. There's nothing dangerous. There are no stairs where they can fall down. There's no fire where they can burn themselves. There are no sharp objects where they can with which they can stick themselves in the eye. There's nothing that's dangerous, and there's nothing that they cannot have, like not mommy's expensive handbag that they can ruin or whatever. Nothing. It's just a yes space. They can do everything that they can physically do, they can do. And creating yes spaces leads to so much relaxation for the parents, because they can just let their children roam around. And if a place is not a yes space, then of course you need to follow your child everywhere, because they can hurt themselves, they can take something that they should not take, that they can destroy or whatever. Couple of months ago, when we were at my grandma's house, there was definitely not a yes space. He destroyed things and he like killed the flowers, and yeah, it was stressful. Like the whole family was just trying to make sure that this little child doesn't hurt himself or hurt anything else or destroy anything. And he was eating strawberry, and that he not touches the white curtains of grandma with his strawberry hands. And it was horrible. It was horrible. After we've been there, we were all so stressed out, like four people trying to care for this little energetic bundle. No, that was definitely not a yes space. So if we create yes spaces, then the child is well and we as parents are well. But the thing is, like all the civilized places where we can go, streets, restaurants, the setting that we've been was so not a yes space. And that's why it was stressful. And that's why it's super relaxing to have dinner with Leona when we are at home, because it's a yes space. He can do everything. When we are eating dragon fruit, his hands, his mouth, everything is purple. But we were sitting outside on the grass. There are no curtains that he can ruin. He can go everywhere. He can go everywhere with his dragon fruit fingers, and it's totally fine. And that's why I can relax. Of course, if I would have some dragon fruit with him and I let him eat by himself in the middle of white curtains from grandma, of course I will be having a hard time, and he will be having a hard time as well, because every time I need to tell him, no, you cannot do this, I'm stopping his urge for exploration. And that's not good. That's super not good. Like the most stressful times with Lionel are always when we need to tell him no. When there is something that he wants to have, because everything that he sees, he's like, oh, that's interesting. I want to go there. I want to have that. And when we need to say no, of course he's crying, because he wants to have that. If he wouldn't have saw that, if he wouldn't have seen that in the first place, because it would be in some part of the wardrobe, like up where he cannot see it, then it's super fine. But as soon as he sees something and we need to tell him no, then the mood is really bad. And I can totally understand that, because for him as 18 months old toddler, he wants to explore, and every time there's a no, that sucks. That really sucks. So he was running on the football field And everything faded away, and I was just like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, you beautiful, energetic little human being. I love you so much for crashing all that. I love you for having so much more energy than anybody can handle, than the situation can handle. I thank you for that because you show me you are my greatest teacher. I recorded this podcast episode, Children Are Our Greatest Teacher. I can highly recommend you to check that out. You are teaching me what is working and what is not working. You are teaching me what is in alignment and what is not in alignment. And over the past 18 months since Lionel was born, I learned over and over and over and over again that the settings that are in alignment with him are actually in alignment with me. And the settings that are not in alignment with him are not in alignment with me as well. As I said, like sitting in this restaurant, eating this processed food that somebody cooked just to earn money, while we are inside, while it's super loud, everybody tries to have some conversations. People are going there to impress their not really friends, and it's such an artificial setting. No, it's not good for me. It's so much better for me to sit at home on the grass and have a fresh dragon fruit with Lionel, and he's relaxed, I'm relaxed, and we're having a great time. This is so much more in alignment, and he shows me that. And that's what I love so much. That's what I love so much. And of course, it's stressful the minute when I try to follow my own agenda of what I think is good, like going to this restaurant, playing there where there's like so many streets around. Then it gets super stressful. And then, yeah. How did the story unfold? We managed to get a couple of bites from our food before we left home, and then day was over. Leon slept, fell asleep like in an instant because he burned so much energy. He was running and running and running. And the next morning, I woke up and I realized I need to change something. Like this evening was a profound experience for me because it reminded me on a deeper level that basically all the civilized settings that we created that are focused on enjoyment of adults and not on exploration for children, these artificial settings, no, just no. And of course, if he would not be there, I maybe would have had a good conversation and a good evening at this restaurant and had some food and everything was fine. But because he is so pure and he is so still connected with the principles of nature, with the principles of life, of creation itself, he crashes everything that is not in alignment. And that's why he always reminds me of, hey Robert, look deeper, look deeper, look deeper. Okay, yeah, your old conditioned self would enjoy this evening in the restaurant and have some food and whatever. But actually, if you would be 100% honest with yourself, neither this food serves you, nor the location serves you, nor the setting serves you, nor getting on your scooter for 30 minutes to drive there serves you. No. But of course, your old conditioned self would repeat what it's conditioned to. But Leonel, all in, no, crash. And that's so beautiful. And that's so beautiful. And at the same time, it's hard. Because the amount of changes that I did in the past 18 months, it's really profound. It began with after his birth, his most important need is physical contact, skin to skin contact. And that's why every time he was sleeping, and most of the time that he was awake, he was in the sling. And I was carrying him for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day in the sling. This little 4 kilogram thing. It doesn't sound a lot, but the interesting thing is that he doesn't like it when he's in the sling and he's sleeping. Like he's sleeping super deep sleep. The minute you sit down and say like, oh, there's a quiet moment, I can work something on the laptop. The moment you sit down, he wakes up and he is like, what is going on? And he starts crying. Why? Because when the adult that is carrying you is not moving anymore, in the past that meant maybe he's dead. There is danger. But when the adult is moving, then everything is in perfect order. So that meant for 6, 7, 8 hours a day, I was walking with him. Every evening when I went to bed, my feet were hurting so much. And there was a part inside me that said, like, ah, Robert, like in the past, it was more relaxed. Like it was easier. But actually, let go of resistance, because if you're truly honest with yourself, walking for 6, 7, 8 hours a day is perfect for your body. It just is not used to do that. And that's why there is a clash, because your body is not fit enough to walk for so many hours. And that's a bad thing. And that's why you need to work on that. And this is why I appreciated him pushing me into my truth, like intensely. From the first minute he was there, he was pushing me into my truth. And the more I stepped into my truth, the easier it got with him. Like, for me, I can be a full week just with him, without any support, without Elena, without Nanny, without whatever. And it's a beautiful week. And then I see so many parents, like the two of them, living together, and they have a kindergarten or a nanny or whatever, and still struggling. Why are they struggling? Because no spaces. Because not the right environment. Because for me, when I'm at home with him and he's playing in the garden and he's checking something out and leaves and he's playing with the water and whatever, like, I could sit there for half an hour and read a book and he's playing by himself. In the mornings when we wake up, every time I tell Elena that, she's like, oh, wow. When I wake up at 5 a.m. before him, and then I sit down for a meditation, meditate in the morning, 60 minutes, and maybe halfway there, he will wake up as well. And for the last 30 minutes of my meditation, I will continue the meditation. And he's just up, he's playing, he's like putting his head to my lap and sitting there for a couple of minutes, and then he rolls over, and that's no big deal. I don't need to push my meditation to when he's asleep or when I have my space. I can meditate with him. And that's because I created a setting. I created a setting that is suitable. He can climb outside the bed. He can climb from the bed like by himself. There are things that he can play with. There are things that he can do. He can go outside. He can go into the garden. It's a full yes space. And that's why it's working. It's working pretty well. But the setting in the restaurant and the street and the football field was not working. And that's why the next morning I got up and I realized the next level is calling. Lionel is now at an age, at 18 months old, where his physical capabilities develop in such a fast pace. We saw that, like, I've never seen him run like this much, this fast. He's not a baby anymore. He's a little boy with a tremendous amount of energy. And this morning, after I woke up, I realized I need to make a change. Even the setting that I created for us, like, I moved more to the north, and into my beautiful bamboo hut in the jungle with a garden, with a river and so on. I realized, actually, this is not enough anymore. This is not enough anymore. He needs other children. He needs really lush, untouched nature a lot. Not just the nice garden or like us walking for 5 minutes and then arriving at the river. He needs to open the door and then be able to explore by himself in all directions. And this was not given in my current circumstances. And I realized that actually there was a nice step in the right direction. But if you're truly honest, Lionel needs to live like fully immersed in nature, where he can explore in every direction fully by himself. And where there are other children around, where there are animals around and so on. Robert, now is the time to make the next step. To make the next step towards the living conditions that your heart truly desires and that you wish for Lionel, that you wish for other children, that you wish for other parents, that you basically wish for the whole world. living truly immersed in nature, growing your own food without any streets, without anything that is a no space. You truly desire that. Let's make the move. And then this morning, I made the decision to rent out my home and to come here. This is in the heart of Bali, on the foot of Mount Batu Karu, the mountain I climbed a couple of weeks ago, where I slept on the summit. It was an incredible experience. 2,300 meters of altitude, sleeping in my sleeping bag for 2 hours. It was incredibly cold. But the hike, really walking through untouched forest, it's a national park. It's a holy mountain, the most important site for the Balinese people. And that's where there is no buildings, no construction, no nothing, like hiking 3 hours through the forest. And that was such a beautiful experience. And when I was hiking there, I was thinking, like, wow, this is the place that Lionel needs to grow up in. This is the place. No scooters, no cars, no nothing. Just nature. This is his playground. This is his education. This is real. Like, really, education is a misnomer, because what happens in traditional schools and traditional kindergartens is these little wild souls get domesticated, put into boxes, and trying to prepare them for civilization. Sit still, make your homeworks, pay attention. If you need to go to the toilet, raise your hand. What the fuck is that? What the fuck is that? Leonel would crash such a setting, like, in an instant, and that's so beautiful, and I love him for that. No, I believe every child, when we don't suffocate their intense life force energy, every child is like Leonel. But of course, there are children. When we were at this cafe, there were other children that were maybe his age, and Leonel and Elena said to me, like, what is wrong with Leonel? Look at other children. They just sit there while their parents are having a conversation, and they just eat their food, and they are super, super, super calm. And I said to her, actually, I'm really happy that Leona is not like them. And actually, they are not like that. Just their life force energy got suffocated from the first minute on they were born, with the food, feeding them some toxic formula, or later letting them eat French fries and Coca-Cola. Of course. Life force energy gets suffocated. Of course, they are numbed down. Like almost everybody on this planet is not in tune with their inherent life force energy, because they are numbing themselves through food, through media. Seeing 1, 2, 3 year old little children in front of the laptop breaks my in front of the iPad breaks my heart. Of course, they are watching something child friendly. What the fuck? No, that's not child friendly. It's not child friendly to let them sit for an hour while you are enjoying your nice meal and having a conversation. It's super not child friendly. It would be child friendly to move into the forest and to let them play there. This is child friendly. But of course, most parents are so brainwashed by civilization that they say, like, oh no, I cannot do this. I need my spa. I need my fancy restaurant. I need my girls' night out on Friday, whatever. Actually, what is good for your child is actually good for you, but you are so far away from your nature that you don't see that, and that you think you need this fancy processed food 4-course menu on Friday night along with your sparkling wine. But no, you don't need that. It's not good for you. It's not serving your body. It's totally not serving your body. Yeah. Going out into the garden and picking your own dinner, picking your own fresh tomatoes, picking your own lettuce, and preparing a nice, vibrant, raw vegan meal, that would be good for your body. But most of the people are not able to realize that, because they are so far away from nature. And they say, like, no, I don't want that. That doesn't serve. That doesn't satisfy me. I need, like, this rich meal. Yeah. And children are—it's like a reset. Children are basically like white sheet of paper, and that's why they are still in contact with their impulses and their nature and the nature around them. And then in this moment, I realized, Robert, it's time to make the move. Rent out your home. Go back to this Beautiful, beautiful camping place that we've stayed at two times. 2 times with Lionel, last time with Alina as well. And we stayed here, and the first time I've been here for 2 days with Lionel, just with him, I had the two most beautiful days with Lionel that I ever had in the past 18 months. The whole day was so beautiful. We were having so much fun. He was super relaxed. It was not stressful for me at all because the nature here, it's a 24/7 playground. And then we went to a nearby waterfall, and Elina said, "This is the most beautiful place I've ever been in Bali. This waterfall, pristine, untouched, like crystal clear water. Not like the typical dirt rivers that you see in Bali, even at my home. I words cannot describe how beautiful it is there." And Leona was having a blast. He was throwing stones into the water. He was climbing. He was exploring. He was having a blast. And every time we are in such a natural setting like this, like I can relax. I can relax. It's the contrast to being in this restaurant and being full on trying to make sure that Lionel doesn't destroy himself or anybody or anything else. The contrast is, I can chill in the sun and sunbath for an half an hour, and he's playing. And that's why at the end of the day, I'm super relaxed. I had an amazing day. He had an amazing day, and we both fall asleep, fulfilled and happy, and we're able to express all of that energy. And because of the 2 times having this amazing experience, I realized, okay, this place is calling me. Like this area, we looked at some properties. I cannot tell you. This feels so much like my home. There was one property that we looked at. Later on, we will go there again. It's adjacent to the national forest, to the protected forest. There's only a river in between. So that means that nobody will build anything over there. You basically have a private forest on the front door. This area, there's papayas growing, bananas growing, coconuts growing, coffee growing, vanilla growing, durians, mangosteen. It's so lush, it's so vibrant. I cannot tell you. And yeah, then I texted the owners, and they said, like, actually, for a month we will go on vacation to Germany. Yeah, place is available. You can just move in anytime. And I booked it for a month. So for the next month, this tent will be my home, and I have the flexibility to extend, and probably I will do that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what will emerge, but it feels so right. And for most of the people, when they hear me saying that, probably they would say, like, what the fuck, you're living in this fucking tent? Before, you had a nice house in the jungle, and but this, and for me, actually, this is the greatest luxury. Living, because there are no walls. I'm living in nature. It's super open. I just pull away the curtain, and then I'm outside. And then I'm outside. This is the greatest luxury. And this, for me, exemplifies the beauty of minimalism. Because minimalism for me means focusing on what's really essential. And physical objects, any kind of possessions, any consumer products don't satisfy the real human needs we have. No handbag, no car, no toys, no nothing can really satisfy our inherent human needs. Our inherent human needs to live a life that's connected with us, with our true potential, realizing this true potential, and being connected to the people around us and to the natural setting, like this is our truest need. But since most of us were raised in settings where this was not the normality, we created fake needs. This fake need for a fancy four-course menu with a sparkling wine, or this fake need for a nice car, or this fake need for going shopping 3 times a month. These are not our real human needs. We just developed them because our real human needs were not able to be fulfilled, and that's why we look for something else. But I strongly believe the minute we fulfill our true human needs, everything else fades away. And that's why, like in so many movies and so many books and so many stories, you hear like people going to Bali, Eat, Pray, Love, whatever. People going to Bali, people going to India to an ashram, traveling the world, hiking Mount Kilimanjaro, whatever they are doing, like living in Peru with indigenous people and taking ayahuasca, whatever, like really going off the grid. And then people realizing, what did I do all my life? This is so meaningful. And everything I did in the past was just an escape and is not my true human need. And then we get in touch with what really matters. And what really matters is way less than we think. And that's why this minimalistic approach makes so much sense for me. Downgrading the physical possessions, like over the past week, it's so interesting. I anticipated, like a part of me anticipated what would be going on because I started selling a lot of things. We have the storage, and then the storage there were so much furniture that we bought back in the times when we were living in the Thrive Village. We bought a big sofa. We bought a closet. We bought a sofa table. We bought like so many things, like decorations and stuff. Over the past weeks, I started selling all of that because I was like, okay, they're sitting in the storage and I'm paying for that every month, but I don't see a future where I will want to take all these belongings back. No, I'm the more time passes, the less possessions I want to have. And I started selling all of this. And actually yesterday I canceled the contract with the storage because I sold everything. I sold all these items. And the day I moved here, 3 days ago, I sold the last ones. It's like everything was aligning in perfect order. And 5 minutes before I left with the driver, a woman came to check out the place because she wants to move in there. So everything was perfectly aligning. Like all the possessions went away. Somebody wants to rent my place. This door opened. Like the owners are gone for a month. They offered me like a pretty good offer for rent for the whole month, and way cheaper than I'm paying every month for my bamboo cabin. Everything was aligning in perfect situation and perf in perfect timing. And then Lionel, this moment, he crashed everything, and this really shook me at the it touched me at the core of my being, and I realized this is what it's about. And now I'm here. And it feels so in alignment, and I don't know how it will continue. I let go. There could be the possibility that we move back into the bamboo cabin, but actually, I cannot see that. I would not be surprised if in a couple of months we will be living here like full time, and having bought this piece of land down there at the river, constructed the first tiny cabins, and building community over there. I'm not here to force it. I'm surrendering. I'm open for everything, but I strongly feel that this is the direction. And that all the things that were going on, like this super stress, and it's so important to do your work first, because I think for 99% of the parents, this would just have been a super stressful evening where like the next days they would make their children feel bad for crushing this evening. And it takes a certain amount of connection with the essence, with your essence, to realize that Leona is not the problem. It's not his fault that this evening was stressful. The fault is of society, of civilization, that we created these artificial settings where these children just don't fit in. But since the majority of the children somehow get squeezed into these boxes, we have the illusion that it somehow works, but it's not working. And then every once in a while, a Lionel comes along and he's like, fuck all of that. And that's so beautiful. And now we are here. And maybe without him crashing this evening, I would not have made this decision. Yeah. And when I look at how we came here, just with one tiny suitcase, with a little bit of clothes, my podcast setup, a laptop, that's basically it. A couple of books, that's basically it. Because these physical possessions are not what fulfill your true needs. What really fulfill your true needs are 2 hour long walks through the rice fields here. What really fulfill our true needs is being here in the garden and harvesting your own papayas and seeing them every morning and anticipating when they will be ripe or not. Today's not the day. Tomorrow checking again. Ah, oh, no, today. After that, okay, today's the day. I will have that papaya. Being with animals, there are dogs, there are cats here, there are chickens here. And just being together. Like, the owners are such nice people. They are playing with Lionel. I'm having great conversations with them. He's a Dutch guy, and yeah, he really cares about preserving the beauty of this place here. He's into permaculture, into biology, and into ecology, and we had so many nice conversations. And this is what's truly, truly fulfilling our truest human needs. Yesterday, I got reminded about that again, and I want to take this moment and I want to shout out Victor. I got to know Victor through our Telegram channel. A month ago, I started my private Telegram channel where I'm sharing, like, every day whatever is going on. I'm sharing voices, I'm sharing links to books, podcasts, like, really, like, whatever is flowing through me, I'm sharing that. I can highly recommend you to be part of the channel. It's Gift Economy, amazing community. Last week we had our first community connection call. Friendships are about to be developed over there, and it's just beautiful. And Victor's in the Telegram channel, and then I got to know him. And actually, Victor designed the new thumbnails for the podcast over the past week. We were collaborating and creating these beautiful pieces of art, and I love them so much. So, Victor, thank you so much. And Victor shared with me that inspired through me recommending the book, The Continuum Concept, a couple of podcast episodes ago when I talked about how children are our greatest teachers. I shared the book, The Continuum Concept, by Jean Leedlove. And she's American, and but grew up in the Amazon rainforest with the Yekwana. Yekwana is a tribe living there, really far, far away from civilization. And she was studying, why are these children, like, always happy, like, never crying, never any problems, never fighting with each other, just, like, so peaceful, connected, relaxed children. At the same time, super, of course, super active, but in a very grounded way. Why is that the case? And Victor started picking up this book, and he shared with me, "Hey, Robert, this is. I'm listening to the audiobook, and every couple of minutes, I need to pause, because the depth and the truth in there is so profound. I need to let that sink in, and it shows me how little we really need, if we have what we really need." If we have what we really need, alive in a natural, untouched setting in community, like, if we have that, all the handbags and fancy cars, yeah, start to disappear in comparison. Yeah. Yeah. And although Victor's in Colombia right now, and he said, like, I made steps into this direction and traveling, and I moved out of the matrix, and still I'm in the matrix because there's so much traffic, and still I feel like And it's the same how I felt, like, in the moment when this fateful evening last week, I was like, hey, over the past 1.5 decades, I changed everything in my life, and still I'm here in this setting, like, in this restaurant and with these streets and Lionel, and no. This frustration of having moved so far into the direction, at the same time not being closely to the essence, to the core. And that's what inspired this bold move that we did, renting out our house and moving into this tent here. And it feels so good. I can tell you, the minute I arrived here, I felt at home. I was just sitting here on the terrace and enjoying this amazing view. The first sunset, I was just like, I was sitting here and smiling and like, really? Really? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is how life should be. And it's so interesting that everything is so much more intense. Like, today is day 61 of meditating daily for 1 to 2 hours. Third month starting now. So I would say I'm already a pretty experienced meditator. And still, today's morning meditation was the deepest I had so far. Because it's something else to meditate here while the sun is rising and everything you hear is just natural noises. There are no traffic, no cars, no nothing, no loud music from the neighbors or whatever. And that's why meditation is so much deeper, because of course the energy. You take in all the energy of everything that is around you. It's this famous Jim Rohn quote, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. If you really look deeper, then it's you are the average. You can leave that out. You are your surrounding. You are everything that surrounds you. And that's the people. That's the natural environment. That's the every product, every consumer product, every item. It's our invitation to be, if we really become aware of this effect, the effect my wardrobe has on me, the effect my clothes have on me, the effect the physical structure of my house has on me, whether it's made of concrete or whether it's made of bamboo. It has a tremendous effect on our energy, on our sensitivity. But most of the people don't realize that because they are so numbed. They are so numb because of the food, because of the settings, because of technical devices and so on and so on and so on. Because of childhood pain that they stuff down there and they don't want to feel their emotions and so on and so on and so on. It's a long story. It's a long story how we as humanity arrived at this point where we are not even aware. Like to live, I talked about that in one of the past episodes, to be able to live in a big city like Jakarta or New York City or Dubai or whatever, to be able to live there requires a certain amount of numbness. Otherwise, it would not be possible. And if we move people into a natural setting like this, all of the past is able to fade away and is able to crack open. And that's why so many people in the yoga ashram or during the Vipassana or during the world travel or during the like 2 week hiking trip in the mountains or whatever, really realize what life is about and that everything else that is not in alignment needs to go. And that's one of the main reasons why I'm so looking forward to host my Align retreat. I'm saying my Align retreat, not my Align retreats. If you already checked out Align in the past two weeks ago when I launched it, I was offering two retreats, one here in Bali and one in Europe and Poland. Actually, I made the decision to not do the retreat in Europe, to not travel there. At first, when I was launched, I was super excited because of the location. And I was like, okay, let's go there. 2 weeks, we'll have a great time. But after last week's incident with Lionel and realizing what it's really important, creating the space for him, like here, is my number one task. And it's not worth it to travel to Europe for 2 weeks to host a retreat. As much as I would have loved to spend this time with you guys there, it's not worth it. I strongly feel that it's not worth it. I will, of course, host the retreat here in Bali. It's not far from here. It's super close. It's on the foot of Mount Batukara as well. The location that we will stay at during Align Bali is incredible. It's a permaculture estate. It's the same vibe as here. And of course, This feels super right. This feels super in alignment. But flying and being away from my son for 2 weeks feels not in alignment. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry we won't host Align Europe. And maybe that's your invitation to come here to Bali. Or maybe that's your invitation to do your own nature journey wherever you are right now. But for me, it becomes so obvious that there's a huge difference between wild nature and domestic nature. This is a distinction I picked up in the book Raising a Wild Child. Somebody recommended it to me on Instagram. Thank you so much. I enjoyed it so much. Raising a Wild Child's beautiful. It's basically a love letter to life, a love letter to nature. Beautiful book. And the author makes this distinction between wild nature and domestic nature. Domestic nature is the plant in your living room, or the fish pond in your garden, or the tomatoes you are growing on your balcony. That's a step in the right direction, but it's still domestic nature. It's not wild nature. We need wild nature. Children need wild nature. Wild nature is the untouched forest, the Batu-Karu forest. But like most of nature is not wild nature anymore, because it's domesticated by human beings. Almost all of the forest, all of nature that we have in the Western world is not wild nature anymore. The Białowieża National Park that we would have stayed at during a line retreat in Poland is the last untouched forest that we have in all of Europe. This is the last untouched forest. Can you imagine that? All the other forests are manipulated by human beings because they think they need to care for nature. No, nature takes care of itself. You see that here. Like this forest, the Batu-Karu forest, is so vibrant, so lush, so perfect, so full of energy. It needs no human beings to care for it. It's our hubris to think that nature needs us, that we are here to dominate nature because we know so much better with our big evolved brains. Actually, nature takes care of itself in such a beautiful way. We are here to learn from nature. We are here to appreciate nature. We are here to live in symbiosis with nature. That's our invitation. Yeah. So yeah, No Align Poland. If you feel the calling for Bali, the link is in the show notes. 12 days. Full system life force upgrade. Yeah. It will be an amazing experience. It could be for you one of those experiences that moves you so far away, takes you out of your current setting into no technical devices, no civilization, no processed food, no people that are not good for you, no toxic work, no nothing, just everything in full alignment. Chances are high that after that you're not compatible with your current reality. It's my intention to be the Lionel for you, to crash everything that's not in alignment, and to support you to adjust, to redesign your life so that this aligned life can be your normality, and to connect you with that inherent, incredible, unstoppable life force energy that is in all of us. No matter if you're 18 months old, 18 years old, or 180, this is normality as long as we don't suffocate it. We just need to stop doing the things that are in misalignment, and then all this beauty, all this energy, all this perfection, all this love can finally come out. Yeah. And that's not a matter of age. It's not a matter of age. Yeah. The past years, I dove deeply into Dan Büttner's work with the Blue Zones. The Blue Zones are five areas in the world where there's the highest concentration of centenarians, where the most people that live to 100 and longer live. There's a place in Costa Rica, a place in California, a place in Greece, in Japan, and where is the fifth one? Ah, Sardinia. Sardinia, Italy. And these five places have the highest concentration of people over 100 years old. And not like people over 100 years old as we know that in the Western world of living in some kind of sterile, lifeless nursing home where they just they try to keep them somehow alive. No, they are living super fit lives. There was a, this blew my mind. There's a beautiful Netflix documentary, Living to 100. Can highly recommend to check that out. It's a beautiful work of art, and it's so telling. And there is this man, I believe it was in Costa Rica. He's living over 100, and every day he's working on the fields. He's riding his horses, being a shepherd, and he's super fit. He could be 61, but he's over 100. Can you imagine that? Like people over 100 dancing, being super fit. There's this one guy in Japan, in Okinawa. They interviewed him, and he's sitting in a position like and he's sitting in lotus position that I'm not capable of. I'm 33. I can't do that. He's over 100. He's sitting in lotus position. He's pulling himself up with his hands, holding his full body weight only with his hands, moving around, being super sharp, telling jokes, being highly educated about life affairs and whatever. So inspiring. So inspiring. And Dan Büttner examines what are the preconditions that this is possible, like that people are able to live so long in such a healthy condition. And what he uncovers is the basics of a good life. It's about community. It's about having meaning, having purpose, either in religion, in your job, in your family, being closely connected with your loved ones, the whole family living together. The older generation does not get pushed into some kind of nursing home, and the younger generation some kind of kindergarten, so that the parents are able to work and everybody is in their concrete box designed for them, but no, not designed for them. It's so wrong. And they are all living together, and the great grandma is supporting with the great grandchild and everybody together, and this is totally the vision I have for a nature community, like three, four, maybe even five generations together. Oh yeah, it's to the benefit of all. It's to the benefit of little Lionel and of old grandpa and everybody in between. So this is important: purpose, faith, family, of course, food, plant-based, unprocessed food, eating lightly. There is this beautiful saying in Japan, in Okinawa, stopping at 80% full, and not overeating. They're eating lightly, having the occasional glass of wine, but it's not like wine out of some factory. It's wine that they grew in their backyard and that they are making by themselves since 50 years. And they have a close connection to the land and to the grapes and to the process. And there's all the energy, all the love flowing in. They make their own honey. They make their own bread. They make their own pasta. And it's something completely different. Working in the garden for 1 to 2 hours. That's one of the findings that was present in all the blue zones. The people work in their own garden. Everybody has their own garden for 1 or 2 hours a day. And that's at the same time exercise, as it is meaning, as it is taking care of your body and food. And we are here to grow our own food. We are not here to eat something that got shipped from hundreds or maybe even thousands of kilometers away. We're here to eat what is present here and what we grew ourselves. So yeah, the secrets of the blue zones, it's not a secret. Every child knows that. If you ask a 5-year-old child what is important to live a long, healthy, happy life, they will say, eat well, move your body, be happy, be close to your loved ones, have meaning, have a job that fulfills you. Every child will tell that. And are we really, as collectively, as a society, are we really executing on that? No. even if we stepped out of the matrix and we are digital nomads and building our business, are we truly living in close contact with our loved ones? Are we growing our own food? Are we moving our body for many hours a day? Most of the people not. Even when we look here, this is why I get so many messages from people saying like, oh, Bali, really? Bali got so touristic and so on. Yeah, of course, there are areas in Bali that are super touristic with all the co-working spaces, with all the spas, with all the fancy restaurants and all the overpriced fashion boutiques. Of course, there are areas in Bali where I absolutely don't want to live. There are places like this. These gems, these hidden paradises. There are not so many left, and this makes me really sad. That's why I appreciate every day that I'm able to be here, every day that I'm able to witness that, every day that I'm able to live this slow, aligned, fulfilled, meaningful life. It's just a treasure. It's a treasure. It's just a treasure. Even seeing the local people that are living here, how they encounter me and the owner of this place, the Dutch guy, we are not seen as tourists, as the wealthy boules, the wealthy Westerners bringing money. Like when I'm here with Lionel walking through the rice fields and they are seeing this little human being and me as a dad and we're having a great time together, they are so full of joy and they're like, oh, all over the place. They would love to take Lionel home and adopt him instantly. And it's something completely different when you're in the south of Bali and all the touristic areas. It's, yeah, okay, yeah. Money, 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 money. The more I can get from you, the better. So yeah, there is no Bali. There's this Bali and there is this Bali. It's the same as there is this Thailand and this Thailand, this Costa Rica and that Costa Rica. I was having a conversation with Angelica, a friend of mine, and she lived in Peru for a while. She was before when she arrived here in Bali, she was flying in from Germany, but before that she was in Peru and living with the locals, living super traditional life, and then she arrived here in Bali and being Elina's roommate in the south of Bali, she had such difficulty to arrive here because she was used to living a simple, a primitive life with the locals and seeing these joyful eyes every day. And they are having they're having a blast. They're having the time of their lives with some old football, with like 12 children playing with this old football for the whole afternoon, and they're not getting bored. And then arriving here at the high class Bali life in the south of Bali, where you go from fancy cafe to your massage to getting your nails polished, and then yeah. And she told me like, it's so hard for me to arrive here because my soul does not want to arrive here, because I've seen the simple, the true, the minimalistic, the real life. I could totally resonate to that, and that's why over the past month, first I was drawn into my bamboo hut, and it was a nice step, but still 30 minutes to Canggu, 30 minutes to Ubud, in the middle of two hotspots that we have in Bali here. And still it was around there was little jungle and the river, but around there was still lots of big streets and so on. And it didn't feel right anymore. And Lionel showed it to me, like, because I see them like with 18 months now, and maybe when he is 20, 22, 24 months, he's even more energy, and it will crash as well. It's our day here at this place is completely different regarding his mood than the day when I'm with him and Elina at her home in this nice Airbnb. And it's something completely different, because there he gets upset so quickly because he wants something and he doesn't get it, and because he doesn't have what he truly desires, like a forest where he can safely roam around, a river where he can play. This is what he truly wants. being here and seeing him harvesting all the passion fruits. He has for an hour he plays with the passion fruits, and he looks at all of them and okay, which can I pick, which is ripe, and playing with them and then giving it to me, and I open the passion fruit for him, and then he eats the passion fruit, then he explores again. And these simple things, this is for me the essence of minimalism. And children teach us how to do that, how to appreciate these simple things. Of course, the more years have passed since we embarked on the civilized journey, it takes a long walk back. Yeah. Because we cannot appreciate these little meaningful things. Like sitting for an hour in meditation in the morning, and then every time I open my eyes, I'm so, oh, thank you. Thank you for this gift of another day. Thank you that my eyes are able to see that. Thank you that my ears are able to hear that. Thank you that my nose is able to smell the freshness, the crisp air. Yeah, we're here on 700 meters of altitude. The air is totally different than on the lower altitude region. So many people, even my parents, say I cannot live in Bali full time because it's so humid, it's so moist, it's so dense, it's so hot, I'm sweating all the time. Here, the climate is completely different. It even doesn't feel like Bali. It feels more like Austria, like Alpine regions in Austria. Every morning, every evening, I'm wearing a sweater, I'm wearing socks because it's kind of fresh. But during the day, when the sun comes out, you could get a pretty nice tan here. It's 30 degrees in the sun. It's super hot. But more into the afternoon, it gets colder, and I really enjoy these seasons, this changing climates of cold and hot. And when it's raining here, it's raining a lot, it's raining intensely, and when the sun is shining, the sun is intense. Yeah. Yeah, it really feels that everything is more intense here. The coconut water, I just had a sip of my coconut water. Maybe it's the placebo effect, but I really sense that the coconut water tastes better. And the papaya tastes better. And the birds sound more beautiful. And the air is more fresh. And all the smells are more intense. Maybe it's an illusion, but I strongly feel that. I strongly feel that. The green is more rich. Yeah. I could sit here all day and just observe nature. And contemplate my life, my journey, what led me through this place, and the immense gratitude that I feel in my whole body for my inner guidance, and most importantly for Lionel's guidance. He's one of the biggest reasons why I'm here right now. He's one of the biggest reasons why I'm living in this tent. And no, for him, so many parents would think like, "What, you're living in a tent with a child? Like he needs to have his own room with his own toys." No, Lionel doesn't like any toys. Lionel doesn't like to be in his own room. Everywhere that I'm going, he's following me along. He does not want to play with toys. He does want to play with the things that adults engage with. He likes to play with the broom. He likes to play with my headphones. He likes to play with spoons. He likes to play with sticks. He likes to play with my football. He likes to play with banana peels. He likes to play with empty coconuts. This is what he likes to play with. He likes to play with my Vitamix. My Vitamix is his greatest joy every time when we are in the morning in the kitchen. I'm preparing my juice and he's with me. He's there with me, and he's like always turning on and turning off the Vitamix. Yeah, that's another illusion that society told us. Children need toys. Children need their own room. Of course, when he's older, maybe he can have his own room, and when he has a girlfriend or whatever, sure, that's something different. But now, when he's a baby or a toddler, he doesn't want his own room. He doesn't want to live. He doesn't want to sleep in his own bed. He wants to be close to his loved ones, to his parents. That's where he wants to be. He wants to be outside. He wants to be like this whole notion of living indoors, that the majority of our lives, do a check-in. Like how many hours every day you spend indoors, inside some kind of closed structure. How many hours? For me, it's 10 minutes. The only time I'm indoors when I'm in the kitchen, there's a little kitchen hut, and when I'm there and cut my papaya or open the coconut or whatever, then I'm indoors or making smoothie. I'm indoors for a couple of minutes, but even there there's a huge front that's open, and then I'm outside again. I'm sitting outside. There's a little roof over me, but all the other sides are open. The tent is open. Everything's open. I'm walking through the rice fields. When I'm working, I'm sitting outside. I'm always outside. Even when it's raining, there's a roof that protects me from the rain. But besides that, I'm outside. And maybe it's a little bit colder. Then I put on a sweater and then I'm still outside. I'm sleeping outside. And this is how it should be. This is how it should be. Of course, if we are living in climates where there is like minus 5 degrees, sure, that's not possible. But I think even in those climate zones, we can spend more time outdoors than we do now. Maybe we put on like two thick jackets and do a walk in the snow for 2 hours. Or even working outside, even when we're having a call. Like that's one of the main reasons why I don't like doing Zoom calls. I mostly do just phone calls, and then I can walk through the rice fields while I'm working, and while I'm organizing some team members, coaching, whatever, and working outdoors and not being in the co-working space, a closed box and a cubicle behind a screen. Yeah. Another breakthrough for me here was slowly abandoning furniture. I was really questioning, why did we human beings invent furniture? Why did we invent tables? Did you ever take the time to question why we are eating on tables? With Leona, eating on tables doesn't work. Eating on the floor works. Every time I try to put him on the table, on a chair, he's sitting there for a couple of minutes eating, and then he wants to be active again. He doesn't want to sit on a table. And actually, I realized that sitting on a table is not good for me and my body and my posture as well. But sitting on the floor, you see that in the Blue Zones documentary. The Japanese people, their rooms look totally different. They are spending so much more time on the floor. They don't have regular tables. They have these like low tables and a mat or a pillow or a cushion. And they're sitting on the floor. They're having their dinner on the floor. This tatami mat. And then they're just sitting on the floor having their tea or whatever. And this is so much healthier for our bodies than the posture that we are in when we are sitting on the table or on a sofa. And that's why I took on the challenge to spend as much time when I'm working or when I'm eating, just sitting on the floor. And I realized the limits of my body. I neglected the flexibility of my body. Like even doing this podcast episode, I'm sitting on the floor just with a pillow. And every couple of minutes I need to move because my body is stiff. My body is uncomfortable sitting on the floor for 1.5, 2 hours of sitting this podcast episode. And that's again something that I need to work on. And this is what I realized through being with Lionel. Because he's always sitting on the floor when he's playing. When he's not running around, he's sitting on the floor. He never sits on a chair. And that's how I really questioned why we have chairs, why we have sofas, why we have tables. We could get rid of all of that and just have a mat on the floor, and we can have our dinner on the floor. we can work on the floor. We can record podcast episodes on the floor. We can just be with each other on the floor. It's so much more active. It invites for movement. Being on the floor invites for movement and doesn't lead to that being stagnant in one place for an hour or two, just sitting there. Yeah. Questioning civilized reality on every level. Guys, it's intense. It's really, really intense. So yeah, I'm loving my tent. In the past I had 16 square meters bamboo hut, and now I'm having maybe five square meters tent. It's enough. We don't need all these material possessions. A minimalistic life where we focus on the essential, on what's really, 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 really necessary. Connections, nature, personal development, physical development, nourishment, real food, minimalistic food. There's this whole notion of minimalism. I can see that in all areas of my life, like getting rid of tables and getting rid of sofas, having a minimalistic home of as little possessions as possible, eating a minimalistic diet. I feel the best when every meal consists of only one ingredient. These days I don't prepare dishes anymore. I don't cook fancy things with 20 ingredients, because my body is thriving the most when every meal consists of only one ingredient. And this brings a lot of clarity on what you eat and what you don't eat, because you of course cannot have a meal consisting of garlic, or you cannot have a meal consisting of wheat, just pasta, dry pasta. Try eat dry pasta without any sauce, without anything else. Eat dry rice. No, that would be not a meal. What is truly a meal is a papaya that was growing in the garden. What is truly a meal is coconut meat. Coconut meat is one of my favorite dinner dishes. Just slicing 2-3 coconuts with this rich, thick, intense, chewy, meaty coconut flesh. Oh, had that for the past 2 nights. Or a jackfruit or a durian. Here at this place 2 weeks ago, I had my first durian. I don't know if you know that. It's one of the most polarizing fruits. Some people say like it's so disgusting, and some people say it's the most delicious thing that they ever had. For me, I'm in the latter category. I love durian so much. Even though it's banned in some public areas because of the really, really, really intense smell. But for me, durian, I want to share the durian story for a second, because the durian for me is a perfect metaphor for life itself, because every durian tastes unique. There is no such thing as this is the taste of a durian. I would say you could say like this is the taste of rice. This is the taste of roasted chicken. This is the taste of a cheese pizza. You could say that. Because more or less every portion of rice or chicken or cheese pizza or whatever tastes the same. But durians? No. There's one durian that tastes like white chocolate. There's another durian that tastes more like onions. There's another durian that tastes more like cream cheese. And various combinations and so much more. Like durians are always unique. And this is how it should be. Life is unique. Every human being is unique. Every fruit should taste unique. This is how it should be. And not these like homogenized food that's just replaceable. This whole notion that there are things that are the same is so against nature. Thinking that something is the same as something else, like this tree is an oak tree, and this tree is an oak tree as well, and that's why they are the same, because they are both oak trees. This is so fundamentally against nature, because they are unique beings. And why do we develop this whole concept of something being the same as something else, this whole reductionistic concept? Of course, the origin is money, because money is reductionistic. Money is the same, like my $10 bill is the same as your $10 bill. And if we can buy with this $10 bill, like I can buy this bag of rice with my $10 bill, and you can buy another bag of rice with this $10 bill. Of course, if money is the same, then this rice becomes the same. And even like buying a durian here is a whole adventure, because no matter where you go, the durian always has a different price. It's no such thing that, hey, I'll take 50,000 rupiah and buy two durians. No, everywhere I go, and it's different. Sometimes they will charge me 20k for a durian, which is around 1 euro. Sometimes they want to charge me 60k. Sometimes something completely different, because of the size, because of the ripeness, because of where it was coming from, because of the tree and the season. And it's always an adventure. I don't know how much I will pay for this durian. So durian for me is really the personification of uniqueness, the taste and everything. And this is how life should be. Like, every person is an individual, every fruit is an individual, every day is an individual. Like, everything, if we open ourselves to this perspective that everything is unique and there is no such thing as sameness, life gets so much richer. Life gets so much richer. Yeah. This is something we all can learn from the durian. I think it's time to wrap this up. Yeah. Gonna be having a papaya breakfast for now. And then after that, a little bit of playtime with Lionel. Super looking forward to that. I'm closing with an enormous amount of gratitude, enormous amount of surrender. Surrender to life, surrender to my son, giving up of control, giving up any preconceived notions of how things should be. And I want to say this, like, of course, in every podcast episode, I'm making bold statements. I'm expressing my point of view. But everything that I'm sharing here, I hold very loosely. Maybe tomorrow I will wake up and realize, no, this was not my truth, something else is. Maybe tomorrow I will wake up and I say I moved to New York City. This can be. I don't think it will be, but it can be. I'm not attached to anything. I'm not attached to this is the ultimate truth. Of course, my podcast is called Truth. I'm sharing my truth and my personal moment. Maybe for you something else is true. And I have no intention of convincing you of anything. I'm on my journey, I'm making my experiments, I'm making my observations, and I'm sharing my truth. And if anything of that resonates with you, beautiful. Take it and try it out. Maybe you will move into this tent and you will feel horrible. And you will realize I belong to New York City. Could be, but I would question that and really test whether that's really your truth, or that's just your civilized version that is getting uncomfortable with ants crawling over your feet, and the rain being intense, and yeah. But yeah, I'm sharing my truth. Whatever is of value for you, take that, experiment with it, make your own experiences. But yeah, for me, getting more and more to that core, to the essence, Lionel plays a huge part in that. And the more I get rid of certain things on the outside, the more I get rid of possessions, the more I get rid of anything fancy that my civilized self wants to hold on to, the more free I become. Yeah. And at the same I feel more free, and at the same time I feel so much more connected. And for the majority of people, this is opposites. Either I'm in a relationship, I'm fully connected with you and we are like basically one, or I have the freedom and I can be with whomever I want to and I have my open relationship and I'm flirting and I'm whatever. But having both, having freedom and connection at the same time, is a rare feeling. Ask yourself, when did you feel fully free and fully connected at the same time? And this is something that is totally possible. That is totally possible. A minimalistic, aligned life in nature. And that is not, I it's so interesting. People misunderstand me so much. That does not mean that I will never in my life again fly, or maybe never in my life again, I don't know, take a ride in a fancy car or whatever. If in this present moment I feel like this is something my soul wants to express, I can do that. I'm not dogmatic about anything. But in the here and now, in the present moment, I sense into what truly serves me. And Lionel is my ultimate sensor, because he's so much more in contact with this truth, with this alignment. So I just need to witness him, and then I know, okay, what is good. And yeah, he hates flying. He hates being in cars. Maybe that's an indication of where to move. Yeah. So yeah, super curious where this journey might lead me. Feel a strong connection to the land here that's for sale, and really stoked about building something there, building community, growing our own food, creating the ideal place for children to roam around. And this year, this tent could be a step in this direction. Feel that strongly. But yeah, no rush. No rush with presence, with gratitude for what is already there. Not trying to force anything into existence, not trying to control anything, but surrendering and letting myself be guided by the principles of life. Yeah. If you feel the calling to step into this energy for 1.5 weeks and maybe undergo a transformative process that will make you incompatible with civilized world, could be a byproduct of Align. Apply for Align. 26th of November to 5th of December, I will host a beautiful container here, not far from here, on the foot of Mount Batucaru as well. Your full system life force upgrade in community, in nature, with high frequency food, with all kinds of healing and cleansing modalities, getting rid of what doesn't serve you physically, spiritually, emotionally, and being able to see clearly again, being able to see clearly what is really important, and how you want to move forward in your life, how you want to move forward in your business, how you want to move forward in your relationships. Like, I don't see myself as somebody who's just, all the time in these films, on these documentaries, you see these hippies, and they are just like, oh, I hate society. Society sucks, and I hate money and whatever. And I just want to live my small, tiny existence somewhere peaceful. And I build a small commune around that, and we are living in the woods and dancing around the bonfire. That's not who I am. I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I'm a systemic thinker. I'm like, as much as I spend time in nature, I spend time with like trying to grasp what is really going on in the world, with the economic system, with the financial system, with the political system, and so on and so on. Like, I'm not here to escape. I'm here to put myself and my loved ones and my community in a setting that nourishes us on a deep, deep level and enables us to fulfill our full mental, physical, spiritual capacity, so that we can become change agents to build this more beautiful world, not only in our small commune here in the forest, but everywhere. This is what I'm here for. This is what I'm really, really, really here for. I'm not here to escape. I'm here to align and then go out into this world full of life force energy with my tribe, and spreading truth, spreading love, spreading beauty, spreading alignment. Yeah. This is what calls me. So yeah, apply for a line if you feel a calling. Thank you so much for your time, for diving into this immensely important topic with me. And thank you for being able to share my journey with you. It's always a joy to record these podcasts. If you want to connect closer, join the Telegram channel. I'm sharing there every day, multiple times a day, sometimes, and a lot of resources. And yeah, great community gets built there. Looking forward to welcome you. All right. Terima kasih. Thank you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.